Just real quick, just a reminder, a little bit of programming reminder that there will be no Wednesday service coming up this Wednesday, or next Wednesday, I should say, in time for Thanksgiving. We will be away, so those on YouTube, I don't know if we're going to try to, I don't think we're going to be able to throw anything up. We're not going to have internet connection where I'm going to be, but somebody say amen for that. But probably will be nothing there, but we'll be back for Sunday, amen? And I'm encouraging everybody to spend some time with your family. Hug them. Love them the best that you can. And if you can't be with family, then be with the Lord, amen? And just enjoy yourself. So I want everybody to know that there will be no upcoming Wednesday teaching on Revelation Road, but we'll get right back at it, and we'll definitely be here for Sunday morning service. Is that cool? Cool. I just want to make a reminder of that because somebody's going to text me or email me. I've said it for over a month, and they'll say, "Where are you? Okay? Did the black helicopters get you?" You think I'm kidding you? I was off one time. I don't know what happened. One time, something happened with a video, and they thought the Chinese did something. It was pretty amazing, and I'm like, I'm not that valuable. Please. Pick on somebody else. I'd be more afraid of my mother-in-law. All right, so let's get out of here. Anyways, Wednesday night teaching, man, Revelation Road. I'm glad you're here, and I'm really excited about this this teaching, and I hope it's really helping you see and understand the Bible better, and especially the book of Revelation as far as, you know, getting into the Revelation Road towards the rapture. And that's something that's really trending, if you will, people wanting to understand where we are. And there's so much deception and confusion out there that you have to read the Bible, you have to study, you have to have discernment, and let the Holy Spirit lead you, because if not, you're just going to go to Goofyville. Let me try that again. You're going to go to Goofyville. You just take a ride on Fruit Loopville, and you're there. And you don't want to do that. You want to stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God, because deception is rampant in the body of Christ, and it's causing people, in my opinion, to just waste time. And I don't want to waste time. I don't know how much time we have on the earth, and I don't want to waste it. I want to do what I can do for the kingdom of God. So that's kind of my little introduction on Revelation Road. But last time we got together, we got our board up, and we're going to go back to that board. But the last time we got together, we were talking about the abomination that causes desolation. We were talking about our time frame. And going back to that, I'm going to go ahead and just do that. Jennifer has that one up there. Man, look at her notes. She took some notes. But it just can't compare to my stick figures. So I'm happy who I am. You know, I'm comfortable in my skin. This is great. Somebody says, oh my gosh, look at this guy's stuff. But anyways, I love that. Let me see what you got. Awesome. Okay. So we talked about that. We got into Daniel chapter 27 and Daniel chapter 12, and I'm not going to go back over those. I'm just trying to give you these quick points, and then we'll go into tonight's teaching. But we dealt with Jesus giving us a sign to let us know when the great tribulation was going to begin, and a signal, which I think is very powerful. Because, again, he did not leave the teaching of the end times to a secular group or a humanistic group or a religious group. He left his teaching to the world that whoever was born again could understand it by the power and the ability of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so it's imperative that we see this timeline and look at that signal that he gave us. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. You don't have to go there. But it speaks of the abomination that causes desolation. Remember, we talked about that extensively, okay? And we talked about how that this type of signal would let us know, again, where we were in the end times, where we were in the book of Revelation, in the last days as we prepare for his parousia. And remember, the word parousia means the appearance or the appearing of the Lord. And that's what we're looking for. Because when you find the parousia, which is the Greek word for appearing, then you're going to find the rapture. I'm not going to find the rapture hidden somewhere in some, you know, dark spot of the Bible. It's going to be completely in the open. It's going to be easy to understand. Because, again, why would Jesus, with the most important instructions for humanity in the last days, why would he hide them and make it almost impossible to understand? He wouldn't do that, and he didn't do that. It's the theologians over the generations, over the time period, that have messed us up, especially when we get into, like we've been teaching about, the pre-tribulation rapture. So going back to our timeline, we have PT, which represents pre-tribulation rapture. Then we have the mid, which is between the 7 years, which is what Daniel spoke of, that there would be that contract or that covenant made with Israel by the Antichrist and other nations of the world. And then in the midpoint of that, he would break that covenant and he would exalt himself as God. Okay? And we're going to go back to that scripture in just a second. But he exalts himself, and this is when the wrath of Satan begins. And we're going to go from here forward now. But the teaching is, pre-tribulation view says there's a secret rapture and we're all out of here before tribulation begins, right at the signing of the peace treaty, the building of the temple, and the sacrifices, whatever, begins, and before the wrath of the Lamb. Remember, there's three wraths in the book of Revelation. There's the wrath of the Lamb, there's the wrath of Satan, and there's the wrath of God. Okay? And so, again, I'm not going to fill in these blanks because that would be more into the teaching of the book of Revelation and eschatology. So I'm not headed there. What I'm trying to get to you tonight and through this entire teaching, in the beginning anyways, is the rapture aspect. So we've already made a determination that this is not going to happen. It's just not there. And you say, okay, well, prove to me. Well, I think I did with copious amount of information, but I'll just go back over a few things. In order to have the rapture, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, and other verses, Matthew chapter 24, I've got to have clouds, I've got to have a trumpet, I've got to have the final trumpet, I've got to have the thief in the night. I got to have the day of the Lord. I have to have the parousia, and I have to have some other, remember the keys I gave you, those legends of information, as you would for a map, they have to be found for the rapture. Well, they're not here. They're not there. We're going to go over that just one more time, but they are not there. And so that theology and that teaching is actually an error. It's heresy. And I told you in the beginning of our teachings that it came a long time ago, late 1700s, early 1800s, and it was just like wildfire in the church. Here's the thing about the pre-tribulation rapture. Why it does so good in America is because majority of the American Christians are lazy. Oh, man, nobody threw anything at me. Good. Not you guys, but I mean, majority of them are, look, you here on a Wednesday night, those watching on a Wednesday night, you're not lazy by any means. You're a student and you want to hear the Bible. You want to serve the Lord. But most Americans, we live in this bubble of safety and mindset that, you know, we get saved and go to church and we shouldn't have troubles. The fact, when you get saved, you have more troubles. In fact, when you get saved, that bullseye is not on your back alone. Now it's all over you. You know, you're marked. And so life does change. Now, that isn't a Linus, you know, why is everybody always picking on me, Charlie Brown type of thing, you know, Linus with his blanket, you know, and all this sad stuff. It's just a reality, and it goes with the territory. And so when you understand that you're built for the battle, you're born for this day, then you understand that you're going to go through tribulation. You're going to go through trials, right? And so the pre-tribulation rapture heresy, the whole secret thing about it, is perfect for the American church. And that's why it has sold so well. Notice I use the word sold. It sold so well here in America. Okay, so moving along on my recap, we talked about Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, the war on the saints. You could throw that up there if you want to. It's okay. If you don't, you all remember that there was going to be a war in heaven. Okay, and who is it against? The saints. Again, going back to this whole ideology and philosophy that nothing ever goes wrong for me. Well, look at this. And it was given unto him to make war with who? The saints. Who is that? Me and you. And to overcome them, and power was given to him all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, which you can go there first and then head over to 13. Either way you study it, it still represents the same. And the dragon was very happy with the woman. No, was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Who is that? Us, the church, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's us. So what does that tell you? That tells you that there is a war. How many of y'all know we're in war right now? It's a war just being born again. It's a war in your mind. In fact, the greatest battle arena is the mind, because you have to bring every thought to the captivity of Christ. You have to deal with thoughts and emotions, whether you're male or female. Everybody goes through emotions. And we're hit with thoughts and suggestions and all these different things. Well, it gets real, if you will, in the coming days during tribulation, that now you have the enemy overcoming the church. And that's another teaching that I'll get to at another time, because there's this whole militancy, dominion teaching that's out there, and I believe in all of it. I believe in dominion. I believe we're to move forward and be strong in battle. But I also understand that there is something that God's going to allow to happen in the last days through this battle, and he's going to get all the glory and the honor out of it. And it may not make sense, but it will in that day. So what does that mean? That means for me standing here and this church right now, we have to strengthen ourselves and prepare ourselves for the day of battle. I hope that makes sense to you. And living in the fantasy land of pre-tribulation rapture doesn't prepare you for nothing. In fact, all it prepares you is to escape. And you're not going to escape. You're just not going to escape. We have to go through what we're going through. And again, that's not very popular, but it is truth, and I'll take truth over popularity any day. All right. I gave you Matthew chapter 24, 16 through 21. We won't go back over that. Then we talked about mid-trib real quick in my rehashing over last time we got together. We talked about the mid-trib tribulation rapture. You know, that's another philosophy, theology that's out there. And we spoke about that. And I've gave you copious amount of information that proves that's not so. And I'll give you a little more this evening as we go along, okay? Matthew 24, 21, you can turn there real quick. Jennifer, if you don't mind, throw that up. Just highlighting some of the important information. For then there shall be great, remember, megas, tribulation. What does the word tribulation mean? Pressure. Such it was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So we're talking about an incredible time. You think things are bad now. And this is why I constantly try to prepare this church and people associated with this church. You need to get ready. And again, getting ready is not beanie weenies. You need to get ready internally. You need to kick this this whole thing to the curb about getting out of here and buckle underneath it, coming into a deeper relationship with God, know the Bible, know the God of the Bible, be intimate with Him, get a prayer life, get baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Come on, somebody. Have communion with the Lord as much as possible and get in right relationship with Him, because that's the taproot system that will help you during the coming storms. Beanie weenies are good, but they have an expiration date. You know what I mean? Stuff is good, but stuff can be stolen. Stuff can be flooded. But what you have is eternal. And that's what we have to understand. If we put the two together, that's great. That's a great combination. But Jesus was saying this is what's going to happen. So it's a megos time, or a great time of pressure. And so we pass on that. Then we talked about 1 Corinthians 15. We talked about Matthew chapter 24. Remember, the clouds, the same word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the same exact Greek word of the clouds, meaning the same event. Again, this is copious amounts of information. Then I gave you another wild thought of the trumpet. The same exact word that's used in 1 Thessalonians 4, Matthew chapter 24, and 1 Corinthians 15, all of them are the same word because they represent the same thing. Pretty easy, right? It's almost like Sesame Street. It's very easy. This color matches that color, this square and that square, and that's what studying does if you just do it, okay? Jesus spoke to us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Would you go there? Again, that's a bedrock scripture. You say, again, why are you going over this? Because it's healthy. It's healthy. You need to go back over this information. Listen to the CDs. Go online. It's free. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. When? Immediately after the tribulation of those days. So we want to keep that in our mindset. It's after, immediately after the tribulation of these days. Okay? Jesus is talking, and he's telling us, he's saying, I'm giving you a sign for my parousia, and that is immediately after the tribulation of these things, that's what's going to take place. Well, what I'm reading to you right there is the day of the Lord. And I've made that connection already, so I can't go back. I wish I could, because we'd just be here all night, and I'd start from class one, from time one, but I can't. So you got to go back and do your own research. So I wrote in my notes, and I gave this to you, but he left clues. Remember Blue's Clues? I love that. He left clues, and he did it on purpose. Remember, it is the glory of a king to search a matter out. It's his honor, but God hides things. God hides things so we can learn. And you know what? To whom much is given, much is required. And if you want more, you have to pursue more. And he'll give you more. Okay? And then we talked about the Greek word heaven in those last two books that I described to you, which would have been in, let me give that to you real quick so you have it on your notes in case you didn't get it from last time. And that would be 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I believe that was in Matthew chapter 24. You can go back and look at that. But the same word is used. And then we talked about finding the last trump. Okay, so now we head into part two. Is that where our part nine? Is that where we are? Part nine already? Wow, okay. So part nine, and we just segue into what we're teaching, and I already just recapped there. So go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look at that real quick. Verse 1's fine. We're going to end up probably just at verse 4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you may not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter from us, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Everybody say, it's not going to come. Except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So he said the day of the Lord cannot come. And we know the day of the Lord is not here. It's not in the beginning. The day of the Lord is not here in mid. Okay? The day of the Lord is further this way. And I'm not going to get into specifics, but if I have time, I'm going to show you where the rapture is. That sound cool for tonight? I'll show you where the rapture is in the book of Revelation. But as of right now, let's go on this journey on Revelation Road. So he's talking about the day of the Lord. So there has to be a falling away first. Then the son of perdition is revealed. Now let's see, how does it happen? Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he has to reveal himself right here in mid-trib. He lies his way through and deceives in the beginning. That's how he gets Israel to the peace table, to the peace treaty, to the temple being built, to the worship that they want to do. They go back to Judaism. They want to go back to all those things, what they lost in the temple being destroyed in 70 AD under General Titus, the Roman general. They want to get back to that. It's almost like, see, we did it. We did it our way. We didn't need Jesus. Okay? We did it through this Messiah. We did it through this person, which is the Antichrist, but they're blinded to that understanding until we get to here. So there is a falling away, absolutely, and then there comes a time when he exalts himself against everything that is of God, and he says that he is what? He's God, showing himself that he's God. Go to verse 5, I think. Remember you not when I was yet with you, I told you these things? See, there was somebody bringing a rumor, just like it is today, that this is going to happen and this is happening, and the peace treaty has been signed and the rapture is happening tomorrow at 6 o'clock. No, let's make it 6:06. That's pretty exciting. 6:36. Got to get a 3 in there. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. And, you know, the Jupiter lined up with the Geminis, and the Geminis lined it up with... And the bus just left. I mean, whatever. And you're like, what are you talking about? Well, you know, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and we're all going to die. Come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about with YouTube and other places. We're all dying. And it's like, well, wait. You can't do that, because yes, things are going to happen, and there's precursors and there's events and there's types and there's shadows. Absolutely, but it's not the end. I'm talking about those who just say it's the end. I mean, these guys are just terminal, and that's not the way it is. And so we know that in this period of time, this is when the Antichrist is possessed by the devil himself. And I think I've showed you that already, but I can go over that again. He exalts himself and says that he's God. Right here, the wrath of the Lamb begins with the seals and with his judgment, but then right here, everything changes. At the midpoint, it changes, because now he says he's God, and God don't like it. He does not like it. He'll tolerate certain things, but then when you get up there and say you're God, and you begin to deceive the nations of the world, he says, well, I'm just going to fix that for you, okay? So let's look into the book of Revelation. So pre-trib says the rapture is there in the beginning. And I wrote in my notes real big, not. So we handled that, okay? So where is the parousia? Where is the thief in the night? Where is the day of the Lord? And where is the last trumpet? And where is the resurrection? We have to have those ingredients, if you will, formula, number, whatever you want to call it. We have to have that information in order to know where the rapture is. And again, we've already proven it's not in pre-trib. Okay? And we're proving already that it is not mid-trib either. By the way, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, when I talk to you about enduring and about being preserved, there's another word in that definition I want you to write down. It's persevere. To persevere under misfortunate situations. Persevere. So he that endures, the person that endures, he perseveres, he will be preserved. He will be saved until the end. I had that in my notes to give to you, because that really enhances that whole scripture. I have to persevere. I can't stop. I can't give up. I can't, you know, say, well, I'm going to give in. You say, well, give me an incident. You know, give me an example that's going to cause me to give up. Well, you know, if they threaten your life, if they say you must take this mark in order to buy and sell, are you going to give in to that and deny Christ, or are you going to persevere? Are you going to say, well, I never liked my head anyways? Some of y'all didn't get that. It wasn't... This thing ain't as cute as everybody thinks it is, so whatever you got to do, you do. You hear what I'm saying? And that mindset, it's hard to fathom that, first of all, in our American Christian mindset, let alone in just humanity of our own selves, the core of our existence. But it is nonetheless something that we will face according to Scripture. And I think it's time the church talks about it, because we're getting ever so closer in these precursor moments, in these birth pangs, that we have to face these things. This is a reality. This is not something that I believe is far, far, far away in some galaxy. I believe that it is something coming not too far along. But having said that, I still have to follow the signs and signals and the truth of the word, not somebody's opinion, in order to know where I am. Is that all right? And so that's what this teaching is about. To show you, hey, if we're going on the Revelation road, we got to go all the way down the road, whether we like the bumps or not. Okay? All right, so we talked about those things. So pre-trib, again, let me give you just one other nugget on that. From Revelation chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 4, because that's their bedrock part, is chapter 4, none of those things I just mentioned to you are there. The thief in the night, the day of the Lord, the trumpets, anything to do with the parousia. So we just throw that toilet out, okay? Mid-trib says that it is found in Revelation chapter 7. So go ahead, let's go there now. Okay? So I just piecemealed this together to bring us to this point. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. They were 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. I'm going to stop right there, because I'm not going to be teaching on the 144,000 Jews or evangelists here in this particular teaching. I will tell you there's golden calves that I will kick over later concerning that. Is that cool? Because I don't want to take it away from where I'm headed, but I will get back to that in one of these teachings on Revelation Road. So remember that and remind me. We're going to kick over that golden calf because it's not what people have been saying recently. Okay? Another tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000. All right, so fast forward that and go to verse 14. Actually, back up one more, if you don't mind. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came thee? Okay. They. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of. Everybody say came out of. Write it down in your notes. Came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They came out of. If you look at that word in the Greek, it means from. Out of, from. They came from, they came out of the great tribulation. Now, if I were a mid-trib believer, then that would it would say to me that they came before the tribulation. Read it again. Watch this. And I said to him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which come out of what? Great tribulation. But if it were a mid-tribulation rapture, then it can't come out of it. It has to come before it. Right? I mean, I just came out of the room. Where were you? In the room. I wasn't outside the room and came out the room. I was in the room and I came out. So they had to come out of the tribulation, the great tribulation. And so in Revelation chapter 7, we're seeing a snapshot. Now let me explain some things about the book of Revelation. And if the Lord moves on me to teach from chapter 1 all the way down, I will. But you have to understand about the book of Revelation. It is not in chronological order. It has parenthetical chapters. It has historical portions, flashbacks, flash forwards, if you will, because John is in this state of just an amazing cinematic type of moment where God is just throwing things and showing in this entire panoramic view of the Lord Jesus Christ, really. By the way, the book of Revelation is not about death, asteroids, and everybody dying type of thing. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the parousia, his appearing. That's what the book of Revelation is, the core of it. Now, these other things just happen to happen because they're part of prophecy. And so, you know, like I said, if we go down that road and he wants me to just, you know, go there, I'll do that. But the teaching of the mid-trib is that we're already, you know, we're out of here, and they use this scripture. That's not what that means. It's talking forward of those as a snapshot. It's like seeing the future. These are the ones that were delivered out of the great tribulation. Okay? So you have to understand the parenthetical part, the flashback, and everything that God was trying to show John the Revelator. Okay. So where is the parousia? Where is the thief in the night? And where is the day of the Lord? Where is the last trump? And where is the resurrection? Okay? We have to get to that point. But we've already determined it's not here. It's not in the beginning. And so we're going to go ahead and we're just going to do a real big X right here. It ain't here. It's not mid-trib. It's not there. Okay? So looking for the trumpets and the last and the trump, the trumpets and the last trump, that's Matthew chapter 24, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52. I'm going back over it for a reason, to be just educational, just hear it again. It says the last trump, but where is it in Revelation? Okay, these other books prior to the book of Revelation tell us these are some of the signs, but where is it in the book of Revelation? Go to chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11, and let's look at a few scriptures. And I don't know how far, just start with verse 1, and I don't know how where I'm going to take you, but I know where I'm taking you to. I don't know how far till I get there. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles and the holy city till they tread under foot 42 months. How long? 42 months is how long? 3.5 years. Is that right? So now, you know, we're moving past this. This is your first 3.5 years. There's your sign and signal from Jesus that it's about to get really bad. And then you have another 3.5 years or so, because remember, time is shortened. And this gives us our full Daniel 70th week, or that 1 week, or 7 years. Is that right? Okay. So go on. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. How long? 3.5 years. Is that right? So they're a nuisance. And I've taught this before in the Revelation teaching, and I'll just give it to you for free. I believe that the two witnesses in operation are a mirror reflection of what the church is going to be doing worldwide. I believe that they have specific callings and a specific ministry, no doubt about it. And when I teach on the book of Revelation, I'll just share the two views, I should say, of who people think that they are. But the ideal is this, the word witness there means mirror, means two. And I believe that there's going to be that mirror reflection of the church. And I'll give you some of my reasons why in just a minute. Not that we're going to replace that by any means. What I'm saying is the things that they're going to be doing either have already been done by men or women of God throughout history, or they are within our abilities because Jesus said you would do greater things. So watch this. That's just a little cap in a nutshell. But these are the two olive trees, talking about Zechariah, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? All right. And these have power to shut heaven. Has that ever happened before? Yep. Did it not rain in the days of the prophecy and have power over the waters to turn the blood? Did that happen before? Yep. And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Anybody remember Moses in Egypt? And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Okay. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, which is Jerusalem, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies. How in the world are the people and the nations and the tongues, how folks are going to see this? You ever heard of satellite? 24-hour cable news? Yeah, they're going to see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. That's pretty bad right there, especially in the Middle East. That is a huge, if you will, a huge sign of contempt and disrespect for life. Because even over in Israel, when someone is blown apart, if you will, for lack of better analogy, by a suicide bomber or what have you, every piece of that flesh is put together in a bag because every piece is precious. Okay, and there's more to that, but that's just a snapshot. All right. And they that dwell upon the earth, who? The whole earth, shall rejoice over them and make merry. Guess what? It'd be like Merry Christmas. And shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Okay? And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Wouldn't you say so? So here's these two witnesses. I mean, when it says tormented, it means they were preaching righteousness. They were preaching holiness. They were preaching the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, I believe there's a mirror reflection. I'm not saying that we're going to be doing absolutely the same as far as the assignment, but we are to cast out devils. We're supposed to walk in signs and wonders and miracles. The church is not going to be hiding in a bunker, is my point that I'm trying to make to you. And if these are the last 3.5 years, then what is the church doing? Even though John is seeing specifically an event with these two, I believe, again, there's that mirror reflection that the church will be doing likewise and like manner things. Can I prove it? No, other than what I've just given to you and the fact that what else am I going to be doing? What else is the church going to be doing? Hiding? No. The Bible says that the Antichrist, the devil himself, the dragon, will make war with the saints. Well, if I'm sitting in a bunker, how do you fight me? I got to be doing something for you to be pretty mad at me. See what I'm saying? And so, again, it may not end the same way as far as the assignment, but this is what I think is the parallel. Okay, so watch this. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Wow. Talk about a rapture. And they ascended up to heaven in what? A cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Okay? And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. That's pretty bad. And the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. You want to talk about an illustrated sermon? It's pretty good right there. Verse 14. And the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded. What angel? The seventh angel sounded. What did he sound? A trumpet. How many angels are there in this particular time frame? Seven. The seventh angel. The final angel and the final trump. Do we have a trumpet? Yes. And there was a great voice in where? Heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world are become, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Why would that announcement be made if it was not the ending concerning the rapture, concerning the job was done? Why make that call? So watch, hang on. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces, and they worshipped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, which art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. All right, they're giving him glory. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints. Now, let's stop here for a second, and let's clarify this. So, this happens when? This happens when the two witnesses are taken into heaven. Is that right? After their time period of 3.5 years of ministry. Is that still correct? They were given that window of opportunity. And in the same context in Revelation chapter 11. Now here's the thing. This is what I want to show you, because I don't know how much time I have, but I could do this all night. What happens with the book of Revelation is we look at chapters and we say, there's so much more ahead. How does that happen right there? Because again, there's historical parts, there's parenthetical parts, there's things that he repeats, there's the millennial, there's showing different events to take place, there's the wrath of God. And so when you begin to study the book of Revelation, it's not as drawn out as you think it is. Remember, when you look at that massive book, and I say it's massive because of all the events, it's only 7 years. And maybe shaved off a little bit, and we'll talk about that later towards the end, for the elect's sake. But that's all that it is. And when you read it all, it's like, oh my gosh. Okay? So I want you to see this. So they come down to the end here. Go back to that verse again. Okay? And so the time of the dead to be judged. Well, you don't judge the dead until the end. Is that right? Help me out now. You gotta have a resurrection. You gotta have an end. You just don't judge all of a sudden somewhere in the middle of the book of Revelation. That's why when you look at it, you say, well, that's chapter 11. It's just in the middle. You can't do that. It's the Bible. The book of Revelation is not chronological. You have to go by the words and what they mean. Okay, so let's look at something real quick. Turn to Matthew. Hold that spot, babe. We're going to come back to that. But Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Let's look at this. Can you give me 10 minutes? I know I'm going over, but man, I'm really just getting started for tonight. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with who? His angels. That's his parousia. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. When do you get paid? When you pull up into the business on Monday morning at 8? Do you put your paw out and say, all right, buddy, I'll be here all week, you know it. No. You get your hinder over there and start working, and I'll see you Friday at 5 o'clock, and I'll hand you a piece of paper. Is that right? You get paid at the end. So Jesus is saying right here, he's going to give his reward at the end. Okay, does that make sense? Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Let's look at that real quick. Then we'll flip back over. And behold, I come quickly, and my what? Reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. He says it at the end. He says it in the Gospels. He says it in Revelation chapter 11. There is the reward for what men have done. So go back to that verse, verse 18, if you would. You there? Okay. And the nations of the were angry, and thy wrath is come. What does it say? And thy wrath is come. Okay, now, the wrath has come. We're not appointed unto God's wrath. Remember I told you we'd get to that point about the wrath? The wrath of the Lamb, part of the purifying of the church, part of awakening the church, dealing with the nations of the world. The wrath of Satan, which is a war on the church, the war on Israel, different aspects of humanity. I haven't even got into the mark of the beast and all that. I don't know if I have time. Then it comes to the rapture time, and then he says the wrath of God. So now the people are completely in anger. They're enraged against God. Okay? The time of the dead should be judged, and thou shouldest reward, give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to thy saints. See, pre-tribulation folks want to tell us they're getting all the rewards while everybody's going through hell in a handbasket. Same thing with mid-trib. We're partying now. See, that's the American mindset. You know, that's you guys. I'm going to be partying. That's you. That's you. You know? That's you over there in Africa, you bad Christians, because you didn't live like we did. You have brain rot. You have to be very careful of this. Shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets and the saints, and them that fear thy name. Who? Them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Okay? So it's a time of the dead for them to what? Come alive. You can't be judged being dead. You got to be alive to be judged, right? Can't go to court in a casket. How do you plead, son? I thought so. Always clamming up on me. No, you don't do that. All right? So, Jesus, that's pretty funny. Jesus gives his rewards, right? So when do the rewards come? At resurrection. We're at the resurrection. Now, go to Revelation chapter 14. Can you shave me off 5 more minutes? Are we okay with live streaming all that? Please, I know you got to edit this, but Revelation chapter 14, because it gives you even more details, and it parallels with Revelation chapter 11. Just start in verse 1, and I'll work my way down. I'll probably have to skip through. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which are redeemed from the earth. And these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. When does the end come? When the gospel is preached where? To all the earth. Then the end comes to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment, is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Let me just say this real quick. We're not at the point of the mark of the beast. We're at the precursors. We're at the vehicle, if you will. We're at the delivery system. We're seeing types and shadows of it. But you've got to get all the way to here before you see this. You've got to get to the mid part. And I don't have time for Revelation chapter 13. I don't have time to do that. And so there's a lot of panic going on. And there should be caution. There should be speculation and all those things about what's happening with things that are they're being produced right now. That's all I'll say because of YouTube. But, we absolutely should be aware. But for the actual, what the Bible says, it doesn't happen this fast or in this season. It will be another season. Does that make sense? Doesn't mean I cast it off and I just, I take it and do whatever. No, there's a lot of things to it we should be aware of, and we are aware of it, okay? So it deals with the wrath of God, which is poured out, and the smoke of the torment ascended up forever and ever. Okay, so let's go on. And here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven, so he's talking about who? The believers. Voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Getting paid back, getting rewards. And I looked and behold, a white cloud. Where's the cloud? Right there. A white cloud upon the cloud, one that sat upon it like unto the Son of Man. Now the word there, Son of Man, is weos, which that's the terminology of a mature person, which Jesus went by weos. I don't have time to break that down. Weos ampithis, which means the human aspect of him, but as the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. Okay? Now watch this. You ready? And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat upon what? The cloud. Jesus will come in like manner as he left. Acts chapter 1, is that correct? Yes, and he went in a cloud, didn't he? Okay, how he comes back is in a cloud. Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Go on. And he that sat upon the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, also having a sharp sickle. Watch this. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Now we're talking about the wrath of God. So the rapture, then the wrath of God. The rapture, then the wrath of God. It's very easy to understand. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast them into the great winepress of what? Please say it with me. Of the wrath of God. We're not appointed unto the wrath of God. So where is the wrath of God? The wrath of God is right at the end. Okay? Give me one more verse to see. And the winepress was trod without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even into the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Okay, I have to stop right there, because then we're going to get into the Battle of Armageddon and just putting all these pieces together. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that the rapture is not pre-trib. It's not mid-trib. It's after the tribulation of these days. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 24. And we've proved it with copious amounts of information. Not next week, but the following week, we'll go over more information concerning the rapture. But if anybody asks you, where is the rapture found? It's found in Revelation chapter 11 and highlighted even more detail, Revelation chapter 14. And it happens right near the wrath of God. We are not appointed unto the wrath of God. But will we go through some terrible things? You betcha. Father God, we thank you that we're built for the battle. We are ready to go forward in what we need to go forward into in these last days. You're training us and you're equipping us. And Father, we thank you. It is for salvation. It's for redemption of lost souls. It's for the opportunity to be the final generation. You chose us. You chose us right now to be alive at this time. And Father, we don't like everything we see, but Father, whatever it takes, we know you've anointed us and you've appointed us, and we will come through it victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I love you. Be blessed. I'll see you Sunday morning.